If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be ministering on a subject I think is very prevalent in the world today. We pray to preach and teach this with the anointing of God that we can have understanding. Our text will be tonight starting in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. That's where we'll be starting this evening. The title of the message tonight is Be Rich in Faith, Not Possessions. Be rich in worship to God. Be rich in faith to God. Beware of false doctrine. There is a false doctrine spreading through the United States, teaching Christians to seek after wealth, earthly riches and possessions, teaching that it is Jesus Christ's will for Christians to be rich in this world, teaching Christians to believe the more wealth they have, the more Christ-like they are. This is a snare of the devil. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 12, Paul teaches, If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Paul is saying, if any man would teach any other doctrine than that doctrine which you have received of us, let that man be accursed. Even if an angel from heaven would come preaching any other gospel than this gospel received of Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Amen. If a man teach other than wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to His doctrine. The Lord's doctrine is according to all godliness. If a man does not do these things, he is proud, he knows nothing, but he's going about dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, rilings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but I say to thee, godliness with contentment is great gain. If a man comes, amen, teaching any other doctrine, he is proud, he knows nothing, he's just putting out questions to cause strife, cause envy, cause wrath, cause evil surmisings, that man is perverse. Amen. He has a corrupt mind. He does not have the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Amen. But this man, he has erred from the faith. Amen. And he is of a corrupt mind. He's destitute of the truth. If he thinks that by having more money, by having more possessions, that it makes him more godly than the person that has less than he has. This doctrine is a false doctrine. From such withdraw yourself. But I will expound to you tonight godliness. If you can have God in your life, if you can have Jesus Christ dwelling inside of you, if you are baptized in His name, filled with the Holy Ghost, receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, the Spirit gives utterance. Amen. The Word of God says that if you can have this godliness, and with it, if you can be content, that word contentment, being satisfied with what you've got, not envious, not jealous, not desiring another man's possessions, not desiring material gain, but if you can have godliness and if you can have contentment, the Bible says that you cannot buy it with money. It is truly great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Job was a rich man. Job was a godly man. But by the Word of God, it says, amen, that there come a day that the sons of God come and present themselves before God in heaven, and Satan come among them. And the Lord said, Satan, take my servant Job. Take him as an example. There's no man like him in all the earth, one that loves good and hates evil. And we know that Satan said, yes, but Lord, you got a hedge around him. If you'll take that hedge down, he said, I will cause him to curse you to your face. That's what Satan said to the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, go, but don't take his life. Don't touch his body. And the Bible says that in one day's time, Job lost all of his riches. He lost all of his children. And the Word of God says that he went and shaved his head as an act of humility, took and put ashes upon himself, and he bowed down and he worshiped God. And he said this wonderful statement, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job did not sin with his lips. And he did not charge God foolishly. Amen. And here Apostle Paul says that we brought nothing into the world and is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, let us be there with content. Apostle Paul said, if you have food and you have clothes, be content. He didn't even mention the fact of having a home, having a shelter. He said, if you got food and clothes, be content. He gives a warning, but they that will be rich, for there are those that have purposed in this life that they will be rich. It is their goal in life to become rich. And the Word of God says that they fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now folks, money in itself is not evil. We need money, amen, to be able to purchase the things of life that we need. God allows us to labor and earn a wage where we can receive an income, money, to be able to buy, amen, the food, be able to buy the clothing. God gives us all things, amen, to richly be enjoyed by Him. But if you have a love for money, that is an idol. The Word of God says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. He's not going to have any other gods before Him. The Word of God says you cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. That word mammon means money. You cannot do both. Now, praise God, I believe if we seek God, I believe if we're dedicated to God, that the Lord's going to take care of His own. I believe, amen, as the Word of God says, amen, behold the heaven and the heaven of the heavens, they are the Lord thy God. Amen, this earth also and all that therein is, amen, that God will provide for us spiritually, physically, mentally, financially. He's able to do above and beyond what we could even think or ask. Is our God's arm short that He cannot save? The Bible says that our God can do all things. Amen. Amen. And so God warns, amen, mankind through the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. And Paul says to Timothy in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, that means child of God, that means servant of God, that means saint of God, that means men, that means women, that means children. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Run from them. What things? Run from the love of money. Run from the fact of trying to gain, to believe that it makes you more Christ-like. But thou, O man of God, you flee these things and you follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. See, we're in a battle, folks. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We're in a battle. The Word of God says, amen. Therefore, I say unto you, take on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. Apostle Paul in Ephesians says, amen. I beseech you, brethren. He said, take on yourself the whole armor of God and you might be able to stand. Because we do not fight against flesh and bone, but we're fighting against principalities. We're fighting against powers. We're fighting against the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. We're in a spiritual warfare. We're in an army. We're in the army of the Lord. And we're in a battle, amen, for our very lives, our eternal life, our everlasting life. And we do have an enemy, and his name is Satan. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's the father of all lies. When he speaks a lie, he's speaking of his own. And we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. But if we'll submit ourselves unto God and resist the devil, he will flee from us. Amen. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. We've got to desire this eternal life. We've got to grasp it. We've got to hold on to it. We receive it when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says if the same Spirit that dwelt in Jesus Christ dwells in you, that same Spirit will quicken, give life to your mortal body. It takes the Holy Ghost to bring us out of the grave. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to take us up in the rapture. And the Word of God says if that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, if it dwells in you, we have the gift of eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called. We've been called to this, folks. And we have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Amen. Before the church, before the body of Christ, we have proclaimed, amen, that Jesus is our Savior. Beware of false teachers. God's warning. God's Word teaches us that godliness with contentment is great gain. You cannot buy it. The love of money is the root of all evil. Those that seek after this, amen, have made a mistake and they've erred from the faith. Church, tonight, flee this false doctrine of the wealthier you are, the more godly you are. My bank account is larger. My house is bigger. My car is more expensive. I must be more holier than you. Let us take Jesus for an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, the Word of God says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." The word grace means the unmerited favor of God. "For we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And here Paul speaks and says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich..." Was God not rich? Did God not have the heavens and the earth and all that therein is? Everything living, everything existing is God's. "Though he were rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. That you, through his poverty, might be rich." Rich in faith. Rich in spiritual blessings. Rich in God's anointing. We're not talking about financial gain. We're talking about spiritual gain. Isaiah warns us against this kind of deceiver, decreeing false doctrine. In the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, the prophet Isaiah made a wonderful prophecy. "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that have written grievousness, which they have prescribed." There are those that are writing many books. I'm not saying it's wrong for a man of God to write a book to expound, amen, on the Word of God, amen, to give a witness, to give a testimony, to help people to lead and guide them through the Word of God. But there are those that are writing unrighteous decrees. They're changing the Word of God from truth into a lie. And they're writing grievousness. Not what God saith, but what they themselves have prescribed. Why do they do this? To turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. Amen. There are those that have written this for personal gain, making merchandise out of Jesus Christ in the Word of God today. And they've done it that they may rob the poor, the widow, the one that doesn't have a father, the needy. "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees." That's false doctrine. "That they may rob the Christian, the child of God, that they may make merchandise of Jesus, using his wonderful name to make themselves rich, robbing the body of Christ, desiring us to strive for worldly riches. Did you hear what I just said? They are desiring for us to strive for worldly riches. Work longer hours. Take on a second job. Gamble. Dishonesty. They're desiring us to strive for worldly riches. Why? So that they can rob us of our reward in Christ, to steal our eternal life. It's not just our money they want. It's just not our income they want. But they also, through Satan's will, being led by Satan, desire to kill us. Kill us by us getting our eyes off of the Lord and getting our eyes on riches, and to turn us away from God, and then turn around and rob us of our eternal life. These are false pastors, false prophets, false teachers, deceiving themselves by the devil. Remembering, amen, remember the rich young ruler. We know the story about the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." And this young man, desiring, amen, to say somewhat more, he said, "I have kept the commandments from my youth up. What lack I still? Jesus said, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness." The young rich ruler said, "Lord, these commandments I have kept from my youth up. What lack I still?" Jesus answered, "Take all that you have and sell it, and give it to the poor, and take up your cross and follow me." This young man, he said, "I've kept the commandments, Lord, but what lack I yet?" And Jesus said, "Take all you got. Sell it." Jesus knew this young man's heart. He knew this young man had a problem with money. He knew this man had a love of money. And he said to him, "Sell it. Give it to the poor. And take up your cross." Cross means your death. Be willing to die for Jesus and follow me. The young man's countenance fell. He became depressed, for he was very rich. And he turned away. Then Jesus said, "Hardly will a rich man enter into heaven. Hardly will a rich man enter into heaven." The disciples looked at him and said, "Well, how can anybody be saved?" Jesus said, "That which is impossible with man is possible with God." Jesus is saying, you can still be saved if you'll turn your heart to Jesus Christ. I'll say to you an example in the Word of God. This young man, later in the Scriptures, when Jesus was delivered up to the high priest, when Satan entered into Judas, and Judas betrayed our Lord, and they went into the Garden of Gethsemane with Roman soldiers, and they took Jesus prisoner, the Bible says there was a certain young man with a linen cloth, right in the midst of Jesus being taken prisoner to be taken before the high priest in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was a young man. We don't know who this young man was. I suspicion that this young man was that rich man. Because it says here that this young man, he had on nothing but a linen cloth. And he ran up to Jesus Christ when the soldiers were taken away, took off that linen cloth, threw it on the ground at Jesus' feet, and ran out into the night naked. I say that young man lost everything he had. I say that young man, if that be him, apparently all he had left was just a cloth to wrap around his neck and had nothing else left in the world, coming to that very night when Jesus was betrayed, and now he is willing to give all he had. He never forgot what Jesus said. And all he had left was just something to cover his neck. And he took and threw that down at Jesus' feet. That's all the Bible says about him. I pray that he was forgiven. Amen. But if you'll humble yourself, God will exalt you. But if you'll exalt your own self as this rich man did, then the Lord will humble you. Amen. A rich man puts his faith, I want you to hear this. A rich man puts his faith in his money. Hear me, church. A rich man puts his faith in his money. But a poor man puts his faith in God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We don't have money to get us out of trouble. We don't have a limitless amount of money to buy our way out. But we have something greater. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. I will be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for a friend. And I call you my friend, as long as you do whatsoever I command you. Amen. Amen. In the book of James, New Testament, chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, James, amen, we believe that James is the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. James was an apostle, a follower of Jesus. He said, hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, as heirs of the kingdom which you have of him been promised to those that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they, the rich men, blaspheme that worthy name, that name of Jesus Christ, by which you were called? James says, brethren, God chose the poor. Now, you can explain it any way you want to. You can say he didn't really mean poor financially. He just meant poor spiritually. But I believe that the Word of God is saying, amen, he chose the poor of this world that had nothing, that nobody wanted anything to do with, because those poor people have faith in God. They put their love and faith in Jesus. And they're going to be the ones to inherit the kingdom of God, which he has promised to those that love him. But the rich despise the poor. The rich oppress the poor. And the rich try to take the poor to judgment before the judges in order to even take what little they have. A rich man is never satisfied. He can have much, but he'll want your little. And they blaspheme the worthy name by which we are called. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9 through 19, excuse me, through 34, Jesus Christ says something very wonderful. If you have ears to hear, let us hear. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. What are treasures? Treasures are homes. Treasures are cars. Treasures are boats. Treasures is property. It's land. It's cattle. Amen. Jesus says, don't lay up yourself treasures on the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You can't trust in these riches because they'll be rusty, they'll be corrupted, thieves will steal them. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Jesus said, don't lay up your riches here. Lay up your riches in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Hallelujah. Now, folks, I'm telling you, Jesus said to take the true treasures. What are the true treasures? It's your sacrifices unto God. It's your love for the church. It's your love for the body of Christ. It's your love for your fellow man. It's doing good deeds to others. It's doing unto others as you have them do unto you. It's loving thy neighbor as thyself. It is, amen, doing the Lord's work. It's doing the Lord's will. These are the true treasures, and you should lay them up in heaven. And if you do, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, if you put your treasures down here on the earth, and you put it in possessions, and you put it in riches, you're not going to want to go when Jesus calls us up yonder.
Amen.
You're going to want to stay here with your riches. He said, where your treasure is, there's your heart also. Now, the light of the body is your eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Darkness is a delusion. If your light is the pure light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have single vision, that means that you got yourself focused on a goal. You got your eyes on a city and maker who's God. You're entering in at the straight gate, the narrow way that leads unto life. Then you'll have signals of eyes, signals of purpose, and your eye will be pure. But if your eye is evil, looking and desiring and coveting everything that you see your neighbor have, the Word of God, even in the commandments, says, thou shalt not covet. Amen. Then your whole body is not in light, but it's in darkness. And that darkness is very great. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is Jesus speaking. This is the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore I say unto you, listen what he says. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Now this is what the Lord just said. Is not the life more than food, and your body more than clothing? He says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Are we not more precious in the eyes of God than the fowls of the air? And if the fowls of the air don't sow, don't reap, yet God feeds them, can we not have faith that God will feed us? Take no thought for your life. My, oh my. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Jesus is saying, is there any man in here that can add 18 inches, that's one cubit, unto his height? Can you make yourself 18 inches taller? And why take you thought of clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon was a very, very, very rich man. And yet the Lord says that Solomon's riches can't even compare to the lilies that the Lord allows to grow in the field. Amen. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, exists today, and tomorrow it's cast into the oven to make bread, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? If God does that for the field, will he not put clothes on you? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or where shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. God knows we have need of this. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now God knows you need food. God knows you need clothing. But He says seek Him first. Take no thought. Again, Jesus says, take no thought of tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Lord says, be concerned about your food and clothing for today. God will provide it today. Don't concern yourself about tomorrow, or next week, or 10 years from now. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't use wisdom. That doesn't mean that you don't, amen, make preparation for this life. But the fact is, you're putting your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is providing it. You know how He's providing it? By the sweat of your brow. Amen. The Lord provides the means by giving you the opportunity to work. He doesn't just give it to you for naught. He gives it to those, amen, as we've heard the scripture. You show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith standing alone is dead. Faith without works is dead. Even as your body without your spirit is dead. Amen. So they work hand in hand. By faith we put forth effort, which we call work. And God blesses. Amen. We didn't earn it. We didn't buy it. We didn't work for it. In that respect, but God gives the increase. Believe Jesus Christ's teachings. Do not believe man's false doctrines. These are doctrines of devils. You cannot serve God and money. Take no thought of tomorrow. Let your eye be single, not double vision, not two directions, but one direction. See, we can't have our eyes on the world and our eyes on Jesus at the same time. We can't have our eyes on making money and serving God at the same time. Seek Jesus Christ. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that enter in thereat. Many is going to go the wide gate, the broad way, the easy way, that's going to lead to destruction. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. I've heard many preachers say there's only room on that road for two people, you and Jesus. No room for anyone else. And few there be that find it. But we thank God, amen, that He's shown us the way. Church, be rich in faith toward God. Therefore I say, take no thought for your life. Your Heavenly Father knows you need food, clothing, and shelter. But seek you first the kingdom of God. O ye of little faith, be rich in faith to God. Trusting God to provide food and clothing. Church, let not the devil deceive you through worldly riches, earthly gain. Jesus is our example on this earth. He said, birds have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a pillow to lay his head on. Jesus didn't put emphasis on riches. Be rich in faith. And God will bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. We appreciate God for the Word of God. Amen. That Word of God is sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. It's able to cut asunder the bone from the joint, the spirit from the soul. We're serving a mighty God tonight. Let us give Him thanks. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Thy Word. We put our faith and trust in You, Lord, that You're going to make a way. You're going to provide. Amen. For each of us individually and for the church. Amen. You're going to make a way for us, and You're going to see us safely into the arms of Jesus. Amen. We pray tonight, Father, as we go home, that You'll bless us. That our hearts and our minds will be upon You. That we can just remain in Your presence, that You'll bring peace upon us, and that we can have tranquility and hope, and we can love one another. And Lord Jesus, I say, Lord, though all the world well, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Shake hands and be
friendly.
Hallelujah.